post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Okay, and that was the national half hour, and now we're up with the local half hour, and not only with me.
Socceroos in Asia, will they make it to the cup?
G'day, mate, how are you?
Not too bad. And Lucy, you're just sneaking away?
I'm crawling out as we speak.
We'll see you at the far post on Sunday.
Looking very forward to it. Good luck and have a good show, guys. Yeah,
thank you. Now, Peter, local football. You're the expert, I'm told. What have we got?
Mate, when too much football's never enough. Okay. Men's Premier League got back into action. Canberra FC 4, Tuggeranong United 0. Away went my brave prediction.
What was your prediction?
My brave prediction was that Tuggeranong might be the upset. But they didn't have their top striker with them, so...
Who's that? I thought Matt Menzel was their top striker.
Yes. Well, he wasn't there.
Really? I saw apparently. His name listed on the sheet.
Well, apparently he wasn't there. That's my information. I'm attributing it to that. Yeah. But
I have to mark him in sixth side. He's a pain. He's so quick and skillful.
That was his problem with when he played my team at Waden. With Waden, yes, terrible.
Yeah.
Now Queanbeyan City 0, Canberra Olympic 5. So that's a pretty definitive result. Canberra City 1, O'Connor Knights 1. So they must have had a fair tussle. And ANU 3. Were nailed by Belconnen 4.
That's a pretty close result. And you really started with a bang and really got up there. They're in third for a minute, but they're starting to fall off the pace a bit. What's going on with them?
Well, yeah, the wheel did come off them for a while, but or has done for a few games now. They're certainly fit. They certainly get round the paddock fast, play a bit more like a youth team, I think, at times, but that's probably a little unkind. New combination, probably running out of breath in the second round, but they may find their form again. But Belconnen United is winning, but they don't look in particularly startling form, although they've had some notable absences as well. That leaves us with Canberra FC on the top, Belconnen United underneath. They're clearly away. Canberra Olympic and Tuggeranong United holding up the fourth spot. So they're late charges.
Now, when I have a look at the ladder, it looks to me like there's a bit of a breakaway with three, but that fourth spot's really up for grabs. Tuggeranong are occupying at the moment, which surprises me a bit. Now, at the start of the season, I really thought O'Connor Knights were going to take it, but now I'm just not sure. Who's your tip to get that fourth spot?
Well, I've been pretty impressed with Tuggeranong's play right across the grades. Certainly, they've been a bit of a revelation. They've been building strongly and slowly. Mm-hmm. I think they'll hold on to that.
Okay. I wouldn't want to rule out Canberra City. They've had a string of really good results.
No, they're playing well.
I know Kevin Room, he's an ex-Far Post host with me. He did the WW League games. And I was speaking to him, and he reckons their games against Canberra Deakin or Canberra FC these days, they lost them both 2-1. That's a really close result. And he reckons they could have easily snatched both of those games. So Canberra City are really resurgent, especially compared to last year where they were all
tournaments. Oh, no, much better than last year, no doubt about it. Now, can I jump forward to the women's football?
Absolutely.
They were back in action again. Belwest Foxes and Belconnen United, nil all. Must have been a good game. Would have liked to have seen that one. ANU, nil. Western Creek, nil. Another surprise there. I thought there'd be a result out of that. Canberra FC 2 and Woden Valley 8. Well, Woden Valley are continuing on their merry way. They're playing extremely good football. Amazing little team, that.
So I must say, at the start of the year, I really thought Belwest would run away with it, but not at the moment.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. It's Belconnen United at the top there, isn't it?
No, Woden Valley on
Woden
the top.
Valley. Yep, sorry.
And well in front. Look,
Belconnen United third, aren't they?
They are. Yeah. They are. If you watch Woden Valley, if you get down to their training, anyone, go and watch their training. That'll tell you why they're playing well.
Okay.
And now, our game's out in front of us this weekend, Men's Premier League. The Friday game is Canberra City and Belconnen United. That should be an interesting game.
Yeah, Friday night. I might even go down there and have a look, actually.
Yeah, that'll be one worth seeing. And on Sunday, a good derby, Canberra FC and O'Connor Knights. Always worth a watch.
Yeah.
Now, the Women's Premier League, 2nd of August, they're playing on the Sunday. And probably the game to have a look at is Woden Valley and Bellwest Foxes.
Oh, wow. First versus second.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be a good game.
Really? Do you see that ending up as a grand final preview?
Well, I think they're going to be hard to keep out of the grand final, that pair.
Mm.
And if form says it, that's the way it'll turn out.
Okay. And what else we got, Pete?
Now, a couple of items in very short order. The Capital Football are running trials for the 2009 Boys National Championships. That is the under 14 and under 15 squads. They're open trials, and they're on down at Canberra August 11 and August 18. They're both Tuesdays, 6 to 7:30 at Canberra 3.
So that's the ACT squads?
Yeah.
I sometimes wonder with these open trials, how often do the coaches have X amount of players that they know they're going to pick? How many spots are really up for grabs for the people to turn up for these trials?
That's the question. But open trials are very important because if you don't maintain your options, you don't at these ages, you don't give yourself a chance to spot the late bloomer.
I've got a friend, actually. His name's Sam Huggins. He played Canberra City Premier League a while ago, and his dad, Arthur Huggins, is still the president there.
Mm.
Anyway, when he was 14 years old, he went along to some of these open trials, did nothing the entire time, and then right near the end, they were playing a game. He got this 50-metre long ball. He was on the outside of the box. It landed right. He controlled it on the thigh, flicked it onto the other thigh, turned and volleyed into the top corner. On the strength of that one move alone, they took him into the ACT squad, and he barely ever played, never did anything after that.
I can only think that he did it right under the nose of the selectors. And, of course, the under-13 boys are touring South Korea later on, and trials are being conducted for that. That's on Sunday at 10 a.m. at Canberra. It is an under-12 boys trial. It's preparation for under-13s next year.
Okay,
I'll need to get that right. So if they're under-12 and they're good, get them down there to trial. And I have one more item. How are we placed for time, mate?
It's about 5 past, so depending on how long an interview is going to go for.
Well, I might pass on the interview. Interesting item about the FFA's willingness to give clearances to young players to trial and play overseas.
Okay. So should we have a listen?
Indeed.
Okay.
Post, get there first, the near post, get there first, don't get there second, don't get there third, the near post, get there first, if it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
We're talking today to Heather Reid, the CEO of Capital Football, and Ian Shaw, the Technical Director of Capital Football. Many things have changed on the football landscape in recent time. Change brings uncomfortableness for some and a resolution of problems for others. Heather, Ian, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete.
Heather, perhaps we'll get you to kick this game off. Read us into the life at Capital Football.
Well, I think one of the most important things is that we're finally seeing the strength of some national leadership from Football Federation Australia across a range of areas. You know, since we've brought four organisations together as one over the last 4 or 5 years, that is, you know, the women's football, junior and men's football referees, and of course futsal, all into the one organisation, we now find ourselves in a situation where our management team has grown, our management responsibilities have grown, and of course our constituency has grown. We now represent roughly 18,000 players. We run significant events in Canberra, from the National Futsal Championships in January, which have about 150 teams. We now have a new National Junior Championship also in Canberra for boys 13s and girls 13s, 14s. We've got the Kanga Cup. We've just finished that with, 223 teams.
Mm.
We've got a team in the National Women's League. We hope to be able to support a team in the A-League very shortly. And all of these things mean that our attention to what is essentially our core business, that is running competitions in the winter mainly, and then summer futsal competitions, really has a big impact on the workload, but also the importance of continuing to provide a quality service to the majority of our participants.
I doubt that most of us who are football tragics see the wider picture in football.
Well, it is a big picture, in fact, Peter. You know, last year we released our new strategic plan, which is Going for Goals. There are four pillars within that strategic plan. plan based on community football development, and that's all about building stronger and more efficient clubs. Clubs have had a bit of a knock this year in trying to adjust to a new national program, the My Football Club concept and online registration, but we're reasonably satisfied that we've got through this year to the best of our ability, and whole sort of partnership with FFA for club development, registration systems, etc., will just get stronger and stronger. We've got the business development section of our strategic plan, which, you know, means that we've got to continue doing things better and more efficiently, become a lot more financially sound, and also engage community a lot more. We've got the high performance program, which we'll talk about shortly. And even in the high performance program, since 2005, when we had the first strength of a football academy, we've had a review of that academy 2 years later. We've got a national curriculum. We've got a national technical development plan. We've got new national championships for younger ages at junior level. We've got a major component of futsal wrapped up in our business as well. And of course, we've got a whole lot of objectives and programs from the Asian Football Confederation that are impacting locally that weren't there 4 or 5 years ago.
Football's big business.
Well, it is big business, and it's a people business, which is the fourth pillar of our strategic plan, the people development. It's very important that we provide our people with the best resources and the best environment in which to work within Capital Football, but also people within our development and high performance programs. People on our board need to be appropriately skilled and I guess, experienced. We need to make sure that we build the people within our referee ranks, and that's probably one of our biggest challenges, is to grow the referee capacity, and also, of course, our coaches, which is where, you know, what Ian is trying to do with the technical area, Ian and Pat McCann, is not only improve the quality of coaches, but increase the number of coaches. And I'm really pleased that in the last 18 months, more than 300 people have gone through coaching courses from grassroots through to senior licence, and that's a tremendous boost to the club ranks as well as the high-performance ranks.
Well, it is, and my memory goes back a few years, but in terms of any key performance indicator, that's a massive step forward.
It's been able to happen for a number of reasons too, Peter, largely because FFA have relaxed its requirements for entry-level participation in coaching courses, and they've split the coaching system into community pathway and then high performance pathway. So what Pat McCann is doing in the community pathway is putting more people through grassroots courses and also then junior youth and senior courses. And when I say FFA's relaxed its requirements, I mean that previously you had to do a junior licence before you could do a youth, before you could do a senior. Now they're saying that if you coach at youth level, you go straight into the youth licence. If you coach at senior Premier League level, you go straight into the senior licence. Very sensible, much more practical, and doesn't waste people's time and money. And we are endeavouring to get as many of our premier level coaches qualified with at least the senior licence as possible. And then at the same time, looking at the high performance end, where Ian comes in for the Asian Football Confederation licence, which is your ABC. Very time consuming and very expensive. And I have to say, a little bit exclusive, Ian, in that it doesn't really engender itself to a wide audience to be able to participate in those courses.
Well, even Heather, even with FFA's new requirements that coaches of state teams at 13, 14, 15 years of age will require a minimum C licence. That, of course, for someone just doing a rep team is quite expensive and a couple of weeks off work, of course. FFA would like all of these coaches to be upskilled and with that accreditation by 2010, but of course we have to start somewhere, and it's probably what we've done first through our community pathway is upskill coaches. That's probably our first point. And our second starting point is an identification of coaches to whom we would think would be suitable to go to a higher level of coaching. So it's a drawn-out process in some ways, but still I think it's a process that is required and to get the best coaches at the right level.
Well, indeed, as an old instructor of mine used to say, don't hang around admiring the problem.
Get in and fix it.
The beginning of this journey is always going to have a few bumps in it. But if you don't start, you don't get there. Heather, that very good overview of the strategic environment, the push-pull pressures that are on the peak body. I'd be surprised if the listener knew a lot about that. You really do need to understand it if you want to know what this organisation is doing, because it isn't just about putting nets up on fields on game day, or as important as that is.
It's very important to understand too that our competitions are almost at maximum capacity.
Good point.
We don't have a great deal of room to expand. There might be some clubs operating in the junior league that could take, you know, some more players. But in terms of our men's competition, we have at the moment, we have 36 teams in the men's Premier League structure. It's another big thing that we're doing at the moment is reviewing the men's, the composition of the men's Premier League for 2010 onwards. But the requirement in the last few years is that every Premier League club has to have a pathway team, an under-18s and an under-16s underpinning it, has been, I think, quite successful. It needs a lot more fine-tuning, but as we go forward, that will be a big thing. But in the lower divisions of the men's competition, from Division 1 to 10 and the Masters, there's very little room to move. We just don't have the grounds, and we don't have... A lot of those divisions don't get referees. Still room to grow in the women's competition. They're at maximum capacity now in running their competitions at two venues, as they do on Sundays, using six fields at each time slot. They'll probably go to a third venue. Women's participation continues to grow. It'd be nice to see another two teams in the Premier League, probably not next year, but 2011 we'll have an eight-team women's Premier League, which is terrific. The strength of the competition is increasing all the time as well. And then, of course, in the junior league, you know, we've got one of the biggest clubs in the Southern Hemisphere with Woden Valley. Woden Valley has about 1,800 players. That's the size of some whole sports in the A's. The other important thing to note too is that we've been leaders in rolling out the small-sided games, which now fit very nicely into the national curriculum. We will have to make some adjustments to the under-12s and maybe the number of players and the teams at the lower age groups as well, because FFA has recognised they've probably been a little bit too quick off the mark to take under-12s to 9-a-side. That'll go back to 11-a-side on slightly bigger fields, and there'll be a slight adjustment there.
That too, Heather, is probably dictated by the AFC Championship with the under-13 national teams, and I suppose FFA, all due respect to the players, need to get them probably playing 11v11 at that early age and under-12, so I think it's a natural transition for the 12s to be playing full-sided football. Yeah.
Without labouring the point to the listener, it's important to understand, as you've illustrated very well, that there is a massive activity going on in football to cover off on 18,000 players, and we're hitting capacity, as you quite rightly point out, in terms of our ability to play people. Now, the resolution to that kind of problem is a lot of forward planning and a lot of coordination at a lot of levels. Would that be fair?
That's absolutely right. One of the key things that we've got to focus on is the expansion of facilities. And I know that the ACT government is hoping to bring on new facilities in the Gungahlin area, particularly at Harrison. The Gungahlin Club is desperate for those facilities.
Yeah.
There'll be a few more facilities coming into that area, I mean, probably within the next 3 years, including an enclosed oval within the town centre at Gungahlin. It'll be a shared facility again, which is a little bit disappointing, but we'd like to have it all to ourselves. But one of the most exciting things for Capital Football is the reopening of Hawker Football Centre. I think people have underestimated what we've been doing there in putting in lighting at Hawker and a synthetic pitch, the first FIFA-quality synthetic football pitch in the ACT, and hopefully one of many. But this new Hawker Football Centre is just going to be fantastic. We'll be able to run games from 8 o'clock in the morning until 9 o'clock at night, Monday through to Sunday, and it won't just be football.
You won't need to water the lawn.
Well, we need a little bit of water, but not as much as we've been pouring into it over the last many years. The other thing is, too, that I can announce tonight that Capital Football will be used as a pilot member federation for Football Federation Australia as they roll out a national facility audit. They're going to be doing a very comprehensive review of every single football facility or every facility that's used by football across the whole country. It ties in with the 2018 World Cup bid, but it's also very important that FFA and member constituents such as us understand exactly what's being used, how often it's being used, what's the quality of that venue, the amenities that go with it.
All of this said, I hope the listener now understands that there's a lot going on at Capital Football and with the FFA and government agencies and every Tom, Dick and Harry that's involved in football. And we haven't started talking about football yet. Into this mix comes a new national curriculum. And this is the trigger point for one of the important things in tonight's interview, which is the new high-performance program. But before we dig into that, it would be useful for the listener to know Capital Football has a history where development and contemplation in footballers and futsal is concerned, and that's informed the decision-making process for the proposed new high performance program. Before I go any further, I'll let Heather talk to that one.
I guess since Frank Lowy and the team took responsibility for football at the national level back in 2003, I guess, after the Crawford Report, we've had a number of major shifts in where soccer football is positioned within Australia and also, of course, within Asia, more importantly. We also had a very comprehensive examination of our technical area conducted by John Mitchell in 2004-2005, which resulted in a new technical plan and, of course, the introduction of the Capital Football Academy program. We've had the National Technical Development Plan. As you say, we've got this national curriculum now, which will impact on every single player from basically 8 years of age onwards, getting them all on the same page with their technical development, their understanding of the game, their communication within the game, etc. We've also been leaders in the rollout of the small-sided games,
yes,
almost
important.
Done and dusted. Yeah. We've got a fairly good setup in terms of futsal. One of the few member federations that actually has futsal completely within the member federation. We've got new national underage championships, junior championships, and national training centres. The ACTAS program, as an example, that's also shifted a little bit. For the boys, the age has dropped a year because the AIS program has dropped a year.
Mm.
So those things are all impacting on a changing landscape and a changing environment for us. And hence it's important that Ian, after being asked by the president of Capital Football to look at a new model for our high-performance program, has come up with this proposed high-performance program going forward from 2010. It's still yet to be ratified by the board. There's still some more consultation that needs to take place. And also, Ian will be discussing it with the National Technical Director, Han Berger. It's a reflection of where we are within Football Federation Australia and within the Asian Football Confederation.
So we now have 3 points on this compass. We have Capital Football managing relationships beyond Capital Football into the wider football world and environment. We have Capital Football managing within the ACT for the benefit of those 18,000 players and doing all of the top level horizontal integration that needs to go on with government agencies and clubs and all the rest of that sort of thing. But at the same time, as is evident, Capital Football has been doing its own research and development and its own internalisation, and small-sided games are an example of that. When we step forward into this new proposed new high-performance program, it's on the basis of a lot of thought and contemplation over time.
To be correct, Peter, I mean, it's not as if we've just said, look, let's get rid of playing squads and let's do something else. It's not that. All of our information from FFA and the new curriculum has been put into this new proposal to the board. It will involve Capital Football having contact with three times as many players as our current system has. So I think that in itself is a good message to be sending out to the players and clubs of Canberra. The program also will give opportunity from 8-year-old through to 17-year-old and 20-year-olds.
Mm.
So it's not just a three age group program which we've previously been running. So I think probably the ability to identify players at an early age, we're having the FFA supply a skill acquisition coach at the under 8s for identification, and then they'll come into our program is 47 weeks long, and it does take into account appropriate coaching for the age groups,
yes,
which is something that's been missing throughout Australia, I must admit.
I think it's also very wise to look at what was actually put together through the national research,
yes,
that's been conducted over many years by people commissioned by Football Federation,
yes,
Australia, Alistair Edwards and Foster and others, in developing the national curriculum and previously the national development,
yes,
plan. There was a number of significant gaps identified by this research team in terms of our performance in international competition.
Yes.
Now, we know that the Socceroos and the Matildas, etc., do extremely well compared to previous years in international competition, but there are significant gaps that need to be addressed, and we at the local level here in Canberra need to play our part in helping FFA address those gaps at the national level. And they include things like deficient technical skills. We play hard, we play well, but we're still deficient in our technical ability as players at that international level.
Mm.
We're deficient in game skills. We don't really understand the game enough. We don't play the game at a high level enough. We lose potential players due to a relative age effect. And John Mitchell spoke about this quite a lot in his early report. So players born at the beginning of the year have a significant advantage over those players born at the end,
yeah,
of the year. And whilst we have a system where we select players for representative teams based on, sure, the year that they're born, those kids born in the first half of the year have a great advantage over those that grow a little bit slower in the end of the year.
And Heather, could I just interrupt you? That's probably no more than any parent knows about their child mm-hmm. in any other endeavour, mm-hmm. is it?
And what is addressed in this national curriculum is an emphasis on the player from 9 to 13 on the pure technical ability from those kids, 9 to 13, that's not worry about too much more other than getting the technical skill right. And then when the kid is sort of going through that maturation phase of 13, 14, 15, and the concentration then is more on their insight and their understanding of the game. Yes. Don't try and teach the kid new tricks, because as some people say to me about their teenage sons, for example, you know, the light's on but nobody's home. Their brain is still under construction. It's developing when they're up until 13 or 14, but at those teenage years, it's under construction and it's very difficult to get messages through. So let's look at something else other than the technical development. Look, the other key things just in the technical plan relate to the loss of potential talent due to financial barriers and also perhaps access to venues, distance and things like that. Mm. We're reasonably lucky in the ACT that things aren't too far away, but people still complain about going from the north side to the south side for a training venue or vice versa. So
we come from Sydney, I don't have a lot of sympathy for
that.
But having said that, Heather, we're in a position in Canberra where we can offer two quality venues for training.
Mm-hmm.
And it suggests to me that we should do that anyway. If we can help any of our players' parents in their travelling, we'll do that give them the opportunity to train at a closer venue. And this is part of what the FFA wants us to do.
And that's smart, because you're levering off an advantage.
Levering off an advantage, and we're also levering off our constitutional structure, which is based on two zones, North Zone and South Zone. So we intend to run the Centres of Excellence or the satellite high-performance programs at Canberra in the south and Hawker in the north. Victoria's going down that line as well. They're actually introducing a summer league based on their eight zones in the metropolitan areas. Queensland is doing it as well. So whilst we operate as one zone of capital football for running competitions, we can decentralise to the two zones for this high-performance program and get more people involved and therefore have a greater impact on the technical development of our players.
Look, you had an information night the other night. I don't think I've seen anything as well attended in ages. Certainly got everyone's attention. I thought you gave very robust technical answers in the face of rather difficult or impassioned questioning at times. Whether these answers are absorbed or accepted is a matter for individuals to decide. But the overwhelming impression I got, just defend it as my opinion, is that you're offering a lot more and making it easy to get to.
No, I think you're right on the money there, Peter. I mean, the whole intention of the new program was to expose more players to a higher level of coaching.
Yep.
And give every person the opportunity to develop.
Yeah.
No, and as per the FFA curriculum, taking into account that there's no financial or distance barriers.
Mm.
So this is one part of the curriculum that we thought we could do quite well in Canberra with two venues.
Mm.
And of course it's a development program from October through to March, and then we'll fine-tune the program with the technical development through winter of the best of the two groups out of North and South.
It's also important to point out too that we are building in futsal directly into this program, because for too long there's been an us and them, to be quite frank, between football and futsal, or the indoor, the outdoor. You know, we embrace futsal, we have tremendous quality within futsal, and we've punched above our weight with futsal championships. We need to make sure that the futsal development program and representative program dovetails into the football program and vice versa. You know, we're talking about potentially 350 to 400 players here, Peter, that are taking an awful lot of resources and time, which is worth it, out of a playing population of 18,000. So this proposed high-performance program is really looking at only about 2% of our playing population and yet a significant amount of time for our technical director and our high-performance manager. It's worth it. And we believe we can be a leader with FFA in rolling out the national curriculum and promoting this high-performance program, as Ian said, to a broader range of people and a higher number of people.
And once again, Heather, it's reducing the barriers for these children to make themselves available at either futsal or outdoor foot. So the new program integrates them together, and every outdoor player will play futsal on a Saturday in a training environment.
The point in the national curriculum, and it's coming from Han Berger, is that he wants the kids to be playing futsal from his Dutch point of view. And of course that curriculum is also very much based on international models, specifically the Dutch model. And one of the key things in that too is that every representative team at the national level will be playing a 1-4-3-3 system. It's something that also coaches will need to adjust to at the high performance level. They've got to be trained with Ian and Han Berger and others.
We've talked about the strategic environment, all the factors that influence decision making, and again, all of the original research and development that's gone on inside Capital Football by a number of people over a number of years that's informed you of your decision making. To me, as I look at it, what it's really saying to me is that you've now taken that new national curriculum and you've particularised a solution for the ACT. We're not New South Wales, we're not Victoria. Is that a fair summary?
Well, we're like a big district association in those areas. I mean, we've got 18,000 players, as I said, and we're looking at a high-performance program that are catered for maybe 2% of our playing population. In New South Wales, you know, the district of Blacktown has probably got 18,000 players.
True.
You know, or Sutherland's got 18,000 players. So, you know, we do have the capacity here because of our geography and our closeness with everybody to really build a program, as you say, that is special for the ACT. It caters for our environment. And I think what Ian and the team has put together is potentially very exciting, and no wonder Han Berger wants to have a closer look at it and talk to him about it.
Within this proposed new high performance program, the players will return to play for their clubs. Can you comment on that, Ian?
That is the proposal as we stand, and it's yet to be ratified, but we're seeing this as a good opportunity for players to get their technical development with Capital Football and then get their physical component of their development at club. Now, when they go back to club, they will be judged at where their physical ability stands. So if I go back to club as a 14-year-old, I still may end up playing in the under-16s because of my physical size. But if I'm a smaller, we spoke previously about the relative age effect. If I'm in that same age group but born in November, December, I might need to play in a physical environment that tests me, because it's all about the physical resistance the player has to get his technical ability. So I'm thinking at club you will be put into a team that suits you, not just a one-size-fits-all with the current system where everyone, taking into account relative age or whatever, they still play in one age group and not everyone gets the benefits of it.
These are mutually supportive notions, aren't they? You get developed and you play in a club.
Well, yes, it is used around Australia in other states. There's no doubt about it. You know, you get your technical development within your association, then reap the rewards at club level. In some respects, having a high resistance and playing outside of your age group is good for a small percentage. In other respects, the players that haven't got that physical ability do struggle at times and don't get achievable outcomes.
I think to myself that at times parents' ambitions for their children's playing ability might just outstrip at this moment the real ability.
Well, the other benefit of having the players return to club competition for the weekends only, I mean, they'll have midweek competition against other quality opposition, and they'll have interstate tours and international tours, etc. But the benefit is that these players will go back and add some extra oomph to the club competition. They will hopefully inspire the players around them to lift their level of competition as well within the club environment.
Well, that's so true, Heather, because we talk about putting players into a technical environment or a better environment of football, and those players, when they come in, they're not up to speed, but within a matter of weeks or months, they are playing football equivalent to the players they started with. So when I hear comments that, oh, they'll get bad habits and they'll get this and that, you know, I do agree with that to some extent, but I think they will also take some of the information back to their teammates and their teammates will develop around them.
It's the new proposed high-performance program from Capital Football. It's founded on initiative outside the organisation, the new national curriculum, and it's also informed and advised by the Capital Football's own experience, research and development over a number of years. These things are carefully thought out. There's more on offer here than ever before. You can't hang around and wait for something to start. It's got to be starting, and they're starting it. Heather, Ian, thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. the near post. Get there first if it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first.